NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Germans remain on edge tonight after learning the driver who plowed a truck into a crowd of holiday shoppers in Berlin in a possible ISIS-inspired attack is apparently still at large. 12 people died and 48 others were injured when the truck was aimed as a weapon into a crowded outdoor Christmas market. And then today came the surprising news that a Pakistani asylum seeker arrested and thought to be the driver turned out to be the wrong man and was released. Today, ISIS claimed responsibility for the gruesome attack without an offer of proof as German authorities re-intensified an urgent search for the killer. NBC's Hans Nichols is in Berlin with the latest.
The ISIS claim coming in the middle of an urgent manhunt. Police tonight looking for a suspect after that surprise move, releasing the 23-year-old Pakistani migrant they originally thought was the truck driver. Now, high alert across the city.
Normally, a Christmas market like this would be bustling, but in Berlin today, they're closed with increased security.
Tonight, we've learned new details about the attack that left at least 12 dead and nearly 50 wounded. Just after 8 p.m. last night, a large black truck loaded with steel beams jumped the sidewalk and plowed into the crowded Christmas market, going about 40 miles an hour, according to a witness. Authorities say the truck drove through the market about 250 feet, crushing wooden huts selling wine and sausages. Today, the truck was removed from the square, revealing the horrific aftermath. Witnessed by American Shandana Durrani, who recently moved to Berlin. She said she barely survived and hid behind a stall to get out of the truck's path.
All of a sudden, I heard banging and screaming, and I looked up, and I saw this semi-truck, whatever, just barreling down the street towards me.
One of the victims found inside the truck's cab, an employee of a Polish truck company who had been shot. The murder weapon not recovered. Police say he is a victim, not a suspect. His last phone call to his wife, Monday, 5 hours before the horror began. Today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel visited the scene, holding a single white rose to remember the victims. A sign reads, Warum? Why? People here are nervous.
Do you feel safe?
No. Not yet.
There are two possibilities. Either he's a lone wolf, and then he's probably going to go into hiding someplace, or he has co-conspirators and other people who might help him.
Tonight, a makeshift memorial here is growing as Germany mourns the victims of a deadly attack and wonders if more are to come.
And Merkel today said that it would be, quote, hard to bear if the attacker turned out to be a refugee. That's an acknowledgement that her policy that's letting close to a million migrants could have consequences, and her own divisions within German society could be wider. Lester?
Hans Nichols in Berlin for us. Hans, thank you. And we want to turn now to details in that shocking assassination caught on camera. Investigators believe the man who fatally gunned down the Russian ambassador to Turkey did not act alone. And tonight we're getting our first look at striking new images from the moment of attack. We get more on that from NBC's Richard Engel.
New video shows the Russian ambassador to Turkey's assassination was slow and methodical. Watch the killer in the suit, nonchalantly taking a position behind the ambassador. He eases his hand into his jacket, then fires. The ambassador's remains were repatriated to Moscow today. His widow in profound grief. As a team of Russian investigators arrived at the scene, a Turkish security official said today the hit was too professional to have been carried out without help. Some in Turkey and online went in for conspiracies, blaming the CIA. And that anger may have been what inspired this older man to grab a shotgun late last night and fire rounds into the air outside the U.S. Embassy in Ankara, injuring no one before he was arrested. It's all part of a new normal where assassins, terrorists, and those inspired by them increasingly drive world events. Just since Sunday, in Yemen, 48 people were killed in a bombing. In Jordan, another 10. ISIS claimed both. And now Germany, with yet another low-tech truck ramming.
I think that it is the new normal. And the ubiquity of those types of attacks make this seem normal. It certainly shouldn't be, but it appears to be, certainly for the immediate future.
If there's one thing that unites all this violence, it's probably Syria. The unchecked war there has destabilized the world, and it could get worse before it gets better. Lester?
Richard Engel in Turkey, thank you. Here at home, authorities are on alert. Police in some big cities across the country this evening are stepping up security at holiday-related events. And officials say the danger of attacks with big trucks or even cars has long been a concern. We get the very latest from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams.
Though U.S. officials say they know of no threats here, police in New York are deploying extra security where crowds gather, in Times Square and around the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. In Chicago, a similar beefed-up presence at the city's Christmas Kindle Market. Philadelphia has extra police at the Christmas Village at City Hall. More vigilance, too, at a Christmas fair in Washington, D.C.
It's a great reminder to identify those tactics and techniques that our adversaries use against innocent people.
German police say the truck used in Monday's attack was stolen. In the U.S., thefts of such big rigs are rare, but police in New York have been urging car and truck rental agencies to report unusual behavior.
We told them what suspicious activity we were looking for, and they should alert us so that we can come out and investigate anyone looking for to rent a vehicle that wasn't quite right.
And TSA checks the backgrounds of all commercial truck drivers who haul hazardous cargo or need access to ports. Police in Washington say reports of any stolen truck get extra attention.
It's one of the things we have to be potentially, interested in trying to find, get a hold of that vehicle and make sure it's not used for something like happened in Berlin.
Protecting against trucks is already part of the planning for security at big public events like next month's inauguration here at the Capitol. The Secret Service already factored in potential attacks like the one in Berlin. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
There is developing news we're following tonight from Mexico. Late video in of a massive explosion at a fireworks market outside of Mexico City. There are reports of at least 27 people dead, dozens more injured as first responders continue to rush to the scene. We get details from NBC's Joe Fryer.
Beneath a growing wall of dark smoke, the sound of rapidly exploding fireworks mixes with sirens as ambulances rush to the fiery scene. An explosion this afternoon ripped through the country's most popular fireworks market, San Pablito, about 20 miles north of Mexico City, a popular destination so close to Christmas. The death toll now stands at 26, with at least 72 more victims injured. The most critical are being flown to hospitals by helicopter. The blast was so strong, Mexican officials say nearby homes were damaged and cars were reduced to burned-out shells. So far, the cause of the explosion is unknown as rescuers comb through the smoldering rubble, hoping the death toll will not rise. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
Now to a desperate plea from an American woman being held hostage with her family. On a propaganda tape released by the Taliban, she and her Canadian husband are shown appealing to the U.S. government for help while holding their two never-before-seen children born in captivity. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has details.
Today is December 3rd. 2016.
A propaganda video newly released by the Taliban. American hostage Caitlin Coleman and her Canadian husband Joshua Boyle, captured while hiking in 2012, for the first time now shown holding their two small sons, both born in captivity.
My children have seen their mother defiled.
Caitlin reading from a paper, U.S. officials believe a script from a Taliban hideout U.S. intelligence believes is in Pakistan's tribal region bordering Afghanistan, appealing directly to President Obama.
Please don't become the next Jimmy Carter. Just give the offenders something so they and you can save face and we can leave the region permanently.
Anja, the president-elect.
So we ask that you are merciful to their people and God willing, they will release us.
The terrorists demand, officials say, the release of Taliban terrorists held in Afghanistan, something President Obama did to rescue Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, despite saying he won't negotiate with terror groups.
To include children in the video is specifically despicable to do.
In Caitlin's tiny hometown of Stewartstown, Pennsylvania, friends and family say they had no idea the young couple was going to Afghanistan. Holly Otterbein saw Caitlin only days before she left.
She was actually pregnant then and hadn't told her friends or family. That was unfortunately something that they didn't find out until after she was kidnapped, just adding to this nightmare.
Caitlin's parents last June appealing to their daughter's captors.
We desperately want to be with and hold our daughter and grandsons, who we long to meet and care for.
And now a glimpse of the grandchildren they've never seen. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
Tonight, the Trump transition team is pushing back after a new controversy involving the president-elect's sons after reports surface that are raising questions about whether they were planning to swap big money charity donations to gain access to their father. We get late details on this from NBC's Hallie Jackson.
Tonight, pushback on a chance to party with the president-elect the day after he's inaugurated, at least for donors who give $1 million to a newly formed charity called Opening Day. If they do, this initial brochure, obtained by TMZ, says they'd get a photo op with Donald Trump and a hunting or fishing trip with Donald Trump Jr. and or Eric Trump, both avid outdoorsmen and both listed as leaders of the nonprofit.
For a charitable event such as this, it just looks like you're basically selling your largesse, on the auction block.
The perception that charity donors might pay for access to the president-elect is exactly what Trump himself accused Hillary Clinton of during the campaign.
More pay for play.
Now, he's the one facing questions about access to him and his family. Earlier this week, a charity auction to win coffee with Ivanka Trump was apparently canceled. Late this afternoon, the Trump transition team released a statement saying the opening day events, quote, are merely initial concepts that have not been approved or pursued by the Trump family, adding the Trump sons are not involved in any capacity. A new, final event brochure obtained by NBC News now shows no photo ops or hunting trips with the Trumps. The brothers are named as managers of the nonprofit, but a transition official tells NBC News Don and Eric weren't aware they were being listed as directors of this newly formed entity, adding their names will be removed from the filing. Outside lawyers say that shows good judgment on behalf of the Trump brothers. A spokesperson for Opening Day tells NBC News neither Donald Trump Jr. nor Eric Trump will be involved in the day-to-day operation of the nonprofit. Lester?
Hallie Jackson tonight. Thank you, Hallie. Still ahead here tonight, heart attacks striking younger and seemingly healthy women. A warning over a mystery condition that often goes undiagnosed. Why pregnant women in particular should listen up. Also, the shocking thing police say a suspect did in the middle of a high-speed chase. We're back now with that eye-opening information tonight about heart health, specifically about a leading cause of heart attacks striking seemingly healthy younger women. Many have just given birth. We get the story tonight from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Anne Marie Hess was only 40 when she had her first heart attack.
I just kept saying to the nurse, I have to be okay. I have this 17-day-old baby.
The Minnesota mother of five was told it was a rare postpartum complication. But 6 years later, the same crushing chest pain.
I was in full cardiac arrest.
So you almost died.
I don't like to think about that. But yes, yes.
For the second time, she had something called a SCAD heart attack, a tear in a blood vessel going to her heart.
10 years ago, we assumed, wrongly as it turns out, that all heart attacks were due to cholesterol blockage and blood clot on the inside.
So would you have missed this?
I have little doubt that with hindsight, we missed many of these cases over the last number of years.
The average SCAD victim is just 42. 10 to 20% have just given birth, but it can also affect men. And typical heart attack treatments like stents could tear the artery further.
Watching and waiting may be the best thing. So that's an important learning because we were making things worse in the past.
Doctors still don't know what causes SCAD. Their best advice is know the symptoms of a heart attack: chest, jaw, or arm pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats.
No.
Anne Marie now takes medicines like blood thinners to try to prevent another attack. She avoids strenuous exercise and won't have more kids.
You can't help but sit at an event and think to yourself, what if I wasn't here? Especially when you come that close to not being there.
Now hoping her story could help save someone else. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Minneapolis.
We're back in a moment with the tennis star victimized in a terrifying home invasion. A wild high-speed chase caught on camera. Police in Kansas City pursued a man in a stolen truck after he allegedly hit a police car and fled the scene. The chase reached speeds up to 100 miles an hour. Then police say the suspect ditched the white truck and carjacked another one to continue on. After an hour-long pursuit, he was stopped and taken into custody. Overseas today, a frightening scare for one of the top tennis players in the world. Two-time Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitova was attacked inside her home in the Czech Republic by a robber brandishing a knife, badly injuring her hand in a violent struggle to escape. Kvitova underwent surgery to repair tendons and nerves, knocking her out of the sport for at least the next several months. Tonight, a group of music legends are about to join a very exclusive club, the newest list of inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Pearl Jam and the late Tupac Shakur lead a class that includes Journey, Yes, Joan Baez, and Electric Light Orchestra. The 32nd annual induction ceremony takes place on April 7th here in New York. And that's going to do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.